It is time for another episode of NH Unscripted. We are your love boat-like show for New Hampshire. We are coming to you from the love boat-like digs of the WKXL studios. I am your captain, stubing-like host, Ray Dudley. All right, folks, time to warm up the waterbeds, turn on the lava lamps, burn the incense, because love is about to flow today. Oh, let's see. We are coming to you. Fire up to get your transistor radios up. Take a good look. Get those Walkmans. You see on there, you've got a AM band and an FM band. And the AM band, you can find us at 1450. And on the FM band, 103.9. Those are Concord-based. 101.9 for the beautiful souls in Manchester. We also have a URL, and that happens to be nhtalkradio.com. I need to thank my sponsor, Lakes Region Fence, up in Guilford. Matt and the folks up there do tremendous work. I know you just had some pain because tax day just flew by. Hopefully you got some back, but there are a lot of folks who don't. Here's a good way to get rid of those tears, folks. Get rid of that World War II relic you've got out there called a fence. You see that thing? Burn pile, baby. Burn pile. Get rid of that. Go out to lrfence.com. You can get a free estimate. Find out what a new fence will cost. You can get your property line done. Get your pool fence done. I don't know. If you got a pickleball court you're thinking about, give Matt and his crew a call. Go out to lrfence.com and ask for a free estimate. They will do it. I love those guys. They do tremendous work. They really do. In studio with me today.
I'm back.
For a return visit is Mr. Jim Rosenberg.
I can feel the collective eye roll of your audience now. This yeah. guy again.
What?
Thank you for having me back. What? I apologize to everyone who's sick of my voice by this point.
Well, we had to have him back because I saw him out there rolling in. He had his cute little helmet on. He had his on his e-bike.
Totally new
his,
e-bike,
his little
man.
Vest.
Yeah, I went to my friends at S&W Sport. You must know that place. Do you know S&W Sport?
Yes, from when they were down in at the intersection there, down by Napa.
Throughout my lifetime, I think I've known them in three different locations. They were at that one, that yep. little funny pizza-shaped lot right at the corner of State and South Main Street in yep. the South End. They remain now in the South End. They're off South Main Street, right where what used to be their Mariano Dodge, a small car dealership once was in the location
yeah.
where S&W presently exists, and I went there as I do for all of our family ski equipment because they've got just kind souls, attentive service, and in a world of electronic shopping, it's nice and good for the soul to have an encounter with another member of our species over a major purchase like this one. And I bought a pedal assist e-bike, a Trek.
Dude, you look so cute in your little helmet.
I don't think I'd be natural necessarily for cycling, and it's important for me on the roads in our fair city to be seen.
Good point.
So I bought a yellow bike. I've got a reflector vest. I have a yellow helmet because I'm taking enough chances out there pedaling as it is. I want people to see me. Of course, it's not hard to see me. I'm like a big flashing yellow billboard.
You reminded me, what is that young kid in the movie Up? What is it?
Was he wearing a lot of reflective gear?
No, but you look just like him.
I did?
He's got his little Boy Scout, not you, that the character in the movie, his little Boy Scout uniform on. But it was cute. It was cute. I'm not a big e-bike fan by nature. But
this happens to me everywhere I go for reasons
people
I don't
pick
intend.
On you?
People find me some sort of weird source of humor, like a Rodney Dangerfield character of some sort. And I don't mean for this to happen. I am sincerely out there pedaling that e-bike, wearing safety gear like the rest of the population doing so. Yet for some reason, my approach makes people giggle a little to
the
themselves.
The fact that you're even willing to bring it up, to admit to it.
I'm inspired by this e-bike. And my I got panniers that look like kind of little grocery, look like little boxes almost. So my hope is to go to like area farm stands and stuff and do weekend excursions and do a little shopping, organic shopping, and shove them into my panniers and kind of make it a bit of a local spiritual journey.
Oh, while it's I'm spiritual. I'm feeling the vibes right
too.
Now.
But
oh.
It comes from a place. So I am committed despite my appearance to exercise, whether it's walking the golf course at the Beeve or Concord is blessed with great trails. Yeah. I, throughout the pandemic, rediscovered the trails at Marjory Slope and Wynot, as so many did. Those were well-traveled woodsy trails. But what a great resource in our community for the people that live here or the businesses who wish to relocate here, because their people who work for them no doubt would be well-served by our recreational opportunities, because in our community, they're honestly second to none. So exercise, despite my appearance, is something I'm very committed to. But it hasn't been cycling until I did a trip last year on Memorial Day to Europe. Uh-huh. I went to Amsterdam with three beautiful souls.
Did you bring your e-bike?
No, we rented them.
Ah.
And I was so frightened.
What?
I was so scared. We went to Amsterdam and we rented an Airbnb, which was a houseboat on a canal in Amsterdam. We were blessed with amazing weather. And that time of year, the sun stays out really late, 9:30 or 10, extending these glorious days. And we didn't have a drop of rain. We rented these e-bikes and we got off after an all-night airplane. And the first thing we did was pick up our bikes with our heavy backpacks and have to find our Airbnb.
Hang on. All the things going on in Amsterdam to be fearful of, or that could potentially happen, your e-bike was what frightened you?
Totally. I was sleep deprived, overweight, and hadn't cycled for decades. And suddenly I've gotten myself into a rented e-bike I'm not familiar with in a city that is buzzing with pedestrian, vehicular, and mostly dominated by cycling traffic. And so in Amsterdam, unlike here, the vast majority of people living and working there are coming and going on bike. And their infrastructure matches that priority. They not just have bike lanes, not like our worn, painted bike lanes that go to nowhere, as you and I were mentioning before the show started today. But they've got curbed, established, real infrastructure to support biking, bike lanes that really exist, like separate little roadways. And when you get to intersections, small and major intersections, not only do you have lights for vehicular traffic, but they have lights as well for pedestrians and cyclists. So the cyclists have their own green, yellow, and red lights, and it's got a bicycle on it. So if you're on bike, you know when it's your turn in an otherwise busy intersection, something we rarely have. I've started to notice this in a couple spots in Boston when I've been there recently, or in New York City where I've been there recently, where they're starting to incorporate
cycling traffic
into the way they think about or configure modern intersections as they rebuild them. But they've done this in Europe, or at least in Amsterdam, in my experience, a great deal more. I'm truly committing to it in there because cyclists dominate the landscape in terms of traffic. The priority there is the biker. So the biker gets clear priority over the car and then the pedestrian. Mm. And so at first, of course, I don't know this. And once I kind of pick it up and we mounted our iPhones on our bikes so that we could turn the maps feature on our iPhone to cycling.
Oh, smart.
It brought us to destinations near and far in Amsterdam. This group of four people, I was with my friend Doug Mark. Do you know Doug Mark?
No, I do not.
Well, if you don't, you should. He is a Concordian. He's originally from here. His parents
play the accordion.
He is a Concordian from Concord, as I am. He was born here, and his parents own Caring Gifts on Main Street.
What?
Yeah. Do you know Jerry and Donna Mark?
Wait, do I know Jerry? I know Mike Mark, and I know Tim Mark, and I knew Maggie Mark. Well, I knew Mike Mark.
I don't know if these are the same Marks.
Yeah,
They might be. So Doug Mark is from that family. He lives now in the greater Washington, D.C. area, but he's a dear old friend and went to Concord High with me. I was with my friend Kirk McGonigal. You don't know Kirk, do you?
I do not. I know Matt.
Kirk's a great guy. He had no relationship to Matt. I think the difference in their names are an I and an A in the end of McGonigal. I could be wrong about that, but Kirk and I played basketball at Concord High together and have remade dear friends ever since, and that's especially true now as we get elderly. And another friend of ours named Pat Lyons, who we've known for decades now, but I can't honestly tell you how I No, Pat. But he just became one of our friends through osmosis. I think his wife back in college was friends with some of our friends, and somehow we connected in that way. But that group of three were great traveling companions to a city like Amsterdam, where we rented bikes and we rode around like we were 12 years
old. I noticed the only thing you're admitting to is riding a bike over there.
Of course. What are you talking about? Yeah. What other priorities do you think we would have in a city like Amsterdam?
You all didn't end up with like tattoos or missing a tooth or
nothing like that. We did. I mean, as tourists and for sightseeing purposes only, we walked around the red light district a few times.
That's all, huh?
That is truly all. And we had a very PG rated or G rated experience there.
You know, I'm not believing that.
Well, I can tell you some of the details when we return.
Hang on. Oh, you are listening to NH Unscripted. We are coming to you from the Green Acres-like digs of the WKXL studios. I am your Mr. Haney-like host, Ray Dudley. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, Concord. 101.9 FM in Manchester. And our URL is nhtalkradio.com. Jim Rosenberg has stories for us. We'll be right back. Day with you, girl, is sweeter than the day before because you have NH Unscripted. Yeah! I am your host, Ray Dudley. Glad to be out of bed eating my Ricearoni. Yeah, that San Francisco treat. We are coming to you from the Car 54-like digs of the WKXL studios in Concord, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM. You'll find those on your transistor radio. Get that Sony Walkman out, I'm telling you. 101.9 FM. For you folks in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com is the URL. I'm trying to hurry up through all that so Jim can finish his stories. He was pretending, I believe pretending is the word, what a nice uneventful trip he had over to Amsterdam.
Oh, it was eventful.
Oh, it was.
It was. But e-biking or cycling around this glorious city became a huge focus. And some of that had to do with the guys I was with and their experiences there. They'd regularly taken this trip. It was my first time on it. Pat Lyons was our fearless leader because he'd been there the most and led the charge renting these e-bikes. And what was horrifying at first was that we got off a plane traveling all night long. We flew from Boston. It was a red eye. We switched planes in Dublin, Ireland, connected there on to Amsterdam, got out, took a train from the airport into the center of the city in Amsterdam. Our Airbnb wasn't quite ready yet. We're exhausted from literally an all night of travel. I got a few winks on the plane, but just barely, and that was true for my traveling companions as well. And the first thing we did with our huge backpacks on, like we are, you know, college kids in their late 40s and early 50s, is we went to the cycling store where we'd made reservations for these e-bikes. And it was the morning commute. And so having had no experience doing it, and years since I'd regularly rode anything, and no familiarity with the streets of Amsterdam, and no cultural sense for the rhythm of the ways when you're part of the cycling traffic, we are on these e-bikes in the morning. And we managed to limp over to our Airbnb, and I was frightened of myself. It was just a taste of it. I begged my friends not to get back on that cycle today. Let's wait till we're better rested.
Photos, baby. We need photos, or it didn't happen.
Well, we had an interesting journey, too, because as you saw with all my reflective gear as I rode up to see
Russell,
you this morning.
That's who you... Russell.
It was Russell? It?
Yes, that's his name.
Like a caricature of myself on this bike.
I'm just saying, dropping that right there.
I welcome it. any event, I'm a safety-oriented person, really. Uh-huh. And I appreciate that getting on a bike at all is a little dangerous. But I walk up to this bike rental place in Amsterdam, and I said, "Do you have a helmet?" And the woman, in turn, said to me, literally, "No one in Amsterdam wears a helmet." And I'm like, well, I'd prefer to. Uh-huh. Do you have any available? And she said, well, sometimes for children, we let them borrow helmets. We have a loaner tree in the corner. And I look over and I was like, do you have anyone ready for like a fat kid? And sure enough, I found this helmet and squeezed it on my head and tried to responsibly wear it. At one point, soon thereafter, I took a selfie of myself wearing this helmet, sent it back to my friends at work, actually.
You are killing me.
And when I sent it back to my friends at work, they texted back saying, Jim, we think your helmet's on backwards. Which it was. I corrected that mistake. And from that beginning, though, gave myself to riding in Amsterdam. And once we did have better rest, as I described, the traffic was easy to figure out. And mm-hmm. we set our iPhones to get to destinations near and far. And we're blessed with glorious weather and rode about 45 minutes outside of town one day to a castle called Mudderslot Castle. And for those listeners.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, well, for those listeners that know more than me and maybe even you, although that's doubtful, there's a few of those I know. May have butchered the name Mudderslot, but we went out there and it was a glorious trip because the weather was great, the ride was awesome, and it was cool to go to a destination outside of the city and back. And that was a great indoctrination to cycling. And then, man, like I said, we rode those bikes all over town. But Amsterdam's changed a lot. When I was, I'm turning 50 this year. When I was there in college as a true backpacker, the city was much different. It was a destination for, it was the Las Vegas of Europe, if you will, with a lot of British guys going on bachelor party type trips the way we might to Vegas and a lot of American backpackers. And of course, the famed red light district with its prostitution and legal marijuana and all of the cafes was a huge destination for that type of youthful revelry.
Yes.
And this is a beautiful, well-run and clean city of very healthy people. And I think they started to loathe that reputation, have made a concerted effort to shrink year after year the red light district, and in turn to shrink their kind of worldwide advertisement for that type of traveler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is a very busy and very popular and very beautiful place, but it's changed. And I can only imagine one of the reasons it may have changed is that the world's treated the liberalization and legalization of marijuana differently. You know, Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont have all legalized recreational marijuana. You can go there to a dispensary. No longer is a place like Amsterdam a unique destination for those who want to smoke reefer.
Is it still popular for it, though?
It is. It is popular, and they sell it liberally in the cafes, and you can smoke publicly and in the cafes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, totally.
So all these people riding their bikes around you
are likely impaired to some degree by what they've had to smoke. Oh, I'm sure there's a significant percentage.
That would have scared me more than trying to learn to ride an e-bike.
Yeah, totally. You got to keep your head on a swivel, as they say.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How can they get away with it? I mean, I know how they can get away with it, but I mean, in selling it in restaurants and...
Well, not so much a restaurant where you'd go out for like a steak and have a dinner with your family, but there are cafes, you know, like coffee shops, essentially, is what they look like, where you can get a cup of coffee or even a beer and buy a modest amount of marijuana.
Doing the hookah, what's the hookah thing?
There is hookah things, but mostly people are just, you know, smoking a joint.
One toke over the line.
Yeah, a lot of times what they're doing there, and that happens here too, is they're mixing it with tobacco and smoking it and stuff like that. But that feature of it is more, I would say, in the background than it is in the foreground of how that city is rolling right now.
Would you say that's because, like, over in Germany, they drink at an early age, and so it's really not a big deal, the kind of thing? Is it the same kind of a thing?
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It really isn't a big deal. It didn't dominate anyone's attention when I was there. Really, I was taken with what a beautiful and clean and safe and fun city it was. I mean, it is historically significant. There were so many things you could do. You could live there forever and not uncover them all. It's an amazing place for art and architecture. It's an amazing place for food and sightseeing. And at that time of the year, as I mentioned, the sun's out late, which expanded, it felt to me. We're just there for like kind of a long weekend on steroids. We left on a Wednesday, returned on a Monday over the long Memorial Day weekend, our holiday here. And so it was really a mini vacation, but because of the length of the days, it was glorious.
Yeah, what's the weather there?
It's a little bit farther north than we are here.
Okay.
You know? Because they're high enough that sun this time of year is starting not to go down.
So more Nova Scotia-ish?
Yeah, kinda. I would say so. I would say so. You're challenging my geography, but I would say so, yeah. And this year, I'm repeating the trip with the same group of guys.
You
we're
are.
Also renting e-bikes, but we're going to Copenhagen.
Okay,
and,
why?
We don't know why. Our limited internet research revealed to us that it also is a place that's very friendly to in-town cycling. And so we're going to ride e-bikes around again. And by e-bikes, I mean, we're pedaling these bikes. They don't go on their own.
You know, it says EF. It's an e-bike, right?
Yeah, it's an e-bike. Does that stand for easy?
I'm guessing not. But
in our case, it does. I mean, that's our motivation. We want to cover more ground faster with less effort, for sure. It's real exercise. You got to pedal these things. They don't go on their own. It's not like It's not like you've got your own gas pedal on.
Yeah.
It. Well, but you pedal it, and with each pedal, it gives you a little extra juice.
Was it like? Is there a battery on them?
Yeah,
there are.
Yeah, which
so
you have to charge.
On your cute little helmet, you could put like a solar . You know,
solar panel, keep my bike going farther.
Right on your helmet.
I've got a new bike. It's a Trek Verve Plus, I think is what it's called. It purports to have between 4 and 6 hours of battery life. So it's a pretty good excursion.
So what is it? What's the purpose of it? If you still have to pedal, what's the purpose of the battery?
So with each pedal, it gives you a little juice from its little motor in the back wheel, and it pushes you as well. So you pedal and you're off. It starts taking off for you and with you.
Okay.
But you have to pedal it in order to activate that aspect of the bike.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
It's cool. Yeah. It means you can go faster, and I think the one thing that you need to be careful about is motorists on the road. You know, we're not set up in the way we were just describing to have infrastructure for cycling here.
It's terrible
the
here.
Way we enjoyed it
terrible
in Amsterdam, in nor do I think our drivers have in mind prioritizing cycling traffic near them. And so they're used to bikes going, and they're used to bikes going a certain speed. Here you can go faster, and I think that can take a motorist off guard. Like, I can, without much effort, go 25 miles an hour on a flat, and that's not much slower than a car might be going on Fruit Street, for example, as I pedaled here to see you this morning.
That's quite a sight.
WKXL.
Quite a sight.
I'm glad it was only you that saw that sight.
I'm thinking it wasn't, but you know.
The day's young.
Hang on, folks. You are listening to NH Unscripted. Oh, man. I am your host with the bunny slippers on, Ray Dudley. Happy to be out of the home. You are listening to us 1450 AM, 103.9 FM. Those are Concord-based 101.9 FM for the beautiful souls in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is our URL because, we're in the 21st century. We got it all going here. We have stories yet to uncover that I have got to ask Jim Rosenberg about. We will be right back. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus, here at NH Unscripted. I am your currently sober host, Ray Dudley. We are coming to you from the YMCA-like digs of the WKXL studios in Concord. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM. You'll find those on your Sony Walkman. 101.9 FM in Manchester for the beautiful people. NHTalkRadio.com is our URL, and I have got to bring up, I forgot earlier on, NH Opera Idol. I am not an opera aficionado by any stretch of the imagination. Absolutely none, as a matter of fact. But there is an NH Opera Idol competition happening on the 28th. If you are someone who loves opera, that'll be over at the Capital Center for the Arts. You can go to ccanh.com, get some tickets, or you can find out more information there. The audience will be choosing the winners. Don't know how that happens. The only thing I know about opera is what Elmer Fudd sang.
Are we about to hear that story from you?
I almost did it. I almost did it.
Man, if I could sing well, you'd know already, and so would all your listeners, having been here four times, but I can't sing a lick. It's a tragedy.
Oh, my God. Well, that's what his was about. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there, the Elmer Fudd version. Jim, the last time you were here, you offered me a scratch ticket. Do you remember?
I do remember. You're still here, which suggests to me it wasn't a huge winner, but your gleeful smile also suggests to me that maybe, just maybe, there was some modest treasure for you.
Daddy had pocket change.
Oh, what are we talking about?
$5, baby.
$5? And please tell me that you rolled that right into more scratch tickets.
I did not.
I mean, it takes money to make money.
I did not.
And we established last time that it's for the kids.
I know.
Spent in lottery in New Hampshire go to support our public school education, and you need to do your part.
It
I do.
Went, it
I know
went
I
towards
do.
Kids. This kid. It went towards this kid's
How did
coffee.
You spend your $5?
Coffee, of coffee? Course.
Could you get a coffee for $5
yeah,
these days? I
mean, yeah,
Funflation has had an impact on all those things.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent point, my friend. And I did not win the lottery. That was $1.5 billion.
I tried so hard.
I know.
Yeah.
I played six numbers. Didn't get one.
You didn't?
Not one.
You know, I actually still have up. in my truck, which is getting an oil change, which in part explains my mode of transportation on cycle today. I've got a few lottery tickets from that round. I hadn't checked. Now, I'm pretty confident I'm not a $1 billion winner, or else you'd hear of some unclaimed ticket.
Waiting for
we're
waiting for the person to come around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm pleased to hear that you won. I'm
not
sorry
as pleased
to
as
hear
I was.
That it didn't hook you on more scratch tickets,
man.
But maybe someday soon.
Man, I'll tell you.
It's a gift that keeps giving in this important way, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
I know. I needed to let you know, though. $5. I haven't won $5 in ages. I have a brother-in-law. I swear to you, he can get just a random scratch ticket and win.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He
just looks at it.
A golden horseshoe in
it's
his
incredible.
Rear end. Don't worry. We were warned during the break to keep a constant filter on our language. I don't know why we got that warning.
I don't either.
Maybe it's something to do with what we were talking about before we started the show.
It may have.
Yeah,
it may have. I'm heading over to the Beeve in a little while.
You are? So you've got golf in your future today?
I do.
Are you outside or are you inside?
I'm inside. We're on the simulator.
Okay.
I don't like to get out there too often.
Okay.
My swing is not what it used to be.
I know that your precious issue, Caleb, he gets to play regularly. He must be pretty good. Are you a good golfer?
That's funny. Okay. I was telling you the story upstairs. Here's the story. Caleb and I are using the simulator because I don't go out too. I do enjoy going golfing. I really do like it. But so this day we're using a simulator and I did not bring my clubs and Caleb said, well, Dad, we'll share mine. I go, oh, great. So playing on that green pad thing ish is not the same as playing outside.
It's not the same. It's a clean lie every single time.
You hope.
Yeah.
And the ground is a lot more forgiving.
It's not, you're not standing in a puddle as you might be now on hole two at the Beeve or in the back somewhere.
So I grab his driver and I just haul off. I felt, you feel like you're in the moment. You're like one with the club and the ball. And I visualize it going out, just hitting this like 2.25. And I swing that son of a gun, and don't I snap the head right off the
Yikes,
driver.
Yikes, my goodness.
It goes flying into the screen.
Oh.
He's like, Dad, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. I said, let me try again. I said, I'm sorry. I'll buy you a new one. And I grab his 3-wood, and I visualize the shot going out there straight as an arrow, and I wind up, and I swing, and don't I snap the head off his 3-wood.
Two clubs on two consecutive attempts. Unbelievable. And it sounds...
Record breaker.
It sounds from the way you tell the story that you didn't own these clubs. Your son
That is
did.
Quite true. And I'm lucky that my son is still my son.
Well, and I know from giving myself to the game of golf a bit that this is truly an expensive day. A driver in a 3-wood are not...
Thank you for bringing that up.
...are not inexpensive to replace.
Thank you for bringing that up. Oh, I thought he was going to cry.
Yeah. Well, it's hard when the children become the parents. And maybe that's what this story is about.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And notwithstanding the expensive damage done to his golf bag, he's invited you back, apparently, to go right back to the well and try again today.
It's possible he has forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he visited in Amsterdam and he...
Not Caleb. No way.
Oh,
I mean, that guy
God.
Is on a primrose path.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know? That's glorious. Well, the group at the Beeve, led by Phil, do an amazing job, and they've been open and close. What with the late snowstorms that we had here, but they've done a great job improving that course in recent years, taking down some of the trees which were really kind of shadowing some of the tee boxes and making it difficult to play here and there. Opening that course up, it has become a glorious spot, and it is a real jewel in our community. I believe it's the oldest public golf course.
I think you're right.
In the state, in the country, somewhere. I mean,
state.
It has a significant historic presence in the game of golf. And during the pandemic, when we were all wanting for some normalcy, the Beeb gave to us just that. We were able to go out, walk around, enjoy the fresh air, get good exercise. It's a very affordable and accessible course. It's got a wonderful tradition of being the course for all of us in the Concord area.
When are they going to upgrade the thing?
Well, there's
what's going on there?
There's been a robust discussion or debate, I guess, about whether and when to replace the existing clubhouse, which is extremely well-trafficked and successful, but I have to say a bit dilapidated, with a new one. And we're talking about municipal funds and a public expenditure, so quite appropriately that's drawn the interest of many near and far. But the Beeb has established itself not just as a great destination for golf, which it certainly is, but also for cross-country skiing in the winter. They groom
darts?
Yep, the Dart League, the Winter Simulator League. And as you and I well know, the great food and drink available by
Aces.
Our friends at
Aces.
It's a true fact. It's not a plug that's hard to make, because I am nourished by the food and drink at Aces. My dear daughter will be working there this summer.
What?
Yeah.
You know,
Alice Rose, and I have to pause for a moment.
Right. Let's pause.
Because it is today.
Yes.
Alice Rosenberg's 21st birthday.
What?
Yeah, my daughter turned 21 today. She goes to Clemson University.
Salute!
In the northwest corner of South Carolina. And it is her 21st birthday today, and I'm certain she will be celebrating accordingly.
Huh.
Yeah, so I'm proud
of
her.
You mean with cake?
With cake, and maybe her first cocktail.
What?
It's always amazing how that first drink tastes. You know that, right? So at Clemson, it's a great and fun school, and she went to Concord High. She was a softball player. By the way, today, Concord High's undefeated softball team takes the field again today at Friendly Memorial Field at 4 o'clock to take on the visiting Nashua South Panthers.
They're undefeated?
They're undefeated again. Are you familiar with Concord softball tradition?
No, sir.
In recent years, and for many years, they've been a force in softball, and I think that owes itself to the interest of softball. Softball and baseball families locally, in the competitive recreational and travel ball leagues that exist here. And year after year, delivered to Concord High are a legion of filthy, rich, talented players. And we've got a couple of college-bound stars, Maddie Wachter and Sarah Taylor. Both are pitchers for Concord High. They're both college-bound softball players going to Division I schools themselves in order to play softball, because they're just so good at it. Those two were freshmen when my daughter was a senior on the team, and they made it to the state championship, the Division I state championship, only to falter in the championship to Salem. My daughter's also a pitcher, or was a pitcher. She's now retired. And this
She's not playing at Clemson?
No, she plays club field hockey at Clemson. Ooh. She was a Concord High field hockey player as well. And their club sports are not for the faint of heart. I saw her play last year in Nashville. Their club team took a trip to Vanderbilt University. What a beautiful school and great city that is. It's a whole nother episode by itself to talk about what trouble you could get in the town of Nashville. Amazing music, food, and drink for sure.
Yeah.
And to be there with a college field hockey team from Clemson really was something to behold. But they played great field hockey, and I'd put it on par with like good high school varsity level field hockey.
You know, that's a crazy sport when you look at it.
It's crazy. It scares me.
You're like running around hitting a cue ball with sticks.
You can only use one side of the stick.
Right.
You all have to be right-handed.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, you can only play in one direction in field hockey. Yes. Yep. And there's a bunch of rules which, once you get used to it, you get used to it, but are hard to get used to, like the foot foul. If that ball hits your foot, the game stops.
I didn't know that. Concord My wife played in college.
Did she?
Yeah.
Mine did too. My played at high school at Concord High here, and then in college at Wheaton College. And Concord also has an amazing and rich field hockey tradition.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's another rabbit hole we needed to go down.
Totally. Well, we can do a little bit more with that.
One block left. Well, I got you had stories.
Time flies.
I want to hear about Mum in a Can. What was that? Mum in a Drum.
Mum in a Drum.
Oh, dude, you got
the James Hall murder case.
You're listening to NH Unscripted. We are coming to you from the Hollywood Squares, like digs of the WKXL studios. I like the center square myself. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM on your Sony Walkman. 101.9 FM for the beautiful people in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is our URL. I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we get back. Jim Rosenberg's filling up the hour. Oh, man, I'm having a heart attack. This is a great hour. Oh, my God, Jim. Jim Rosenberg's in the house.
It always is. Thank you for having me. We never managed to run out of things to talk
We do not. We run out of time long before we run out.
Well, it's softball and baseball season, and I want to pick up for a moment, if you wouldn't mind, where we left off, because Concord High softball is an important thing to know about. If any of your listeners or community members are interested in seeing authentic, engaging, really high-level local sport, I've got to recommend to you the Concord High varsity softball team.
The floor is yours. Take it away.
Are the defending state champions, number one. They are led by the two amazing pitchers I already mentioned, Sarah Taylor and Maddie Walker. But that's not it. There's another amazing star in the team, their catcher, and she's been the starting catcher since she was a freshman, which is a real accomplishment because that team is always thick and rich with talent, is Delaney Duford.
Did you say catcher?
Catcher.
They have catchers in field hockey?
Softball. Oh, talking about softball. They got goalies.
I got enough. Okay. All right.
Delaney Duford's a very an excellent catcher, an amazing base runner, and an exciting player to watch. She, as well, is a college-bound softball player. There is presently playing first base, but third base or outfielder as well, a kid named Tess Bulldog. She is a scrappy player as well. And then the interesting diamond in the rough, the player on the rise to watch, is Sarah Taylor's little sister, marvelous Maggie Taylor. She's playing the outfield. She's also coming out of the bullpen to pitch. And, man, as a freshman, she was breaking some windows and flashing a bat.
Yeah.
And putting the, she's just seeing the ball really well right now. So if you want to see a young, talented, good hitter going places, come down and look for her as well. This team is led this year, as it has been for many, by their skipper, their coach, Duke Sawyer, a wonderful guy, and exactly who you want to have serving as a coach of young, talented athletes. He is solid. He is kind. He is firm. He knows the game. And when my daughter played for him, I was just so appreciative in this day and age of carnivorous sports from coaching and fandom to have a steady and kind hand guiding this team as he had for years. He doesn't do it alone. Sandy Smith, who used to be a Monitor sports reporter, I believe, also coaches this team. I believe that she'd played on great Concord High softball teams as well. So as part of a rich softball tradition in our community, as well as Molly Emerson, who's a nurse by trade and has a young family herself. And it wasn't long ago that she was patrolling the outfield along with her twin sister as Concord High softball players. She's remained, and she is a important returning feature of their coaching staff. So if anyone wants to see really good local sport entertainment for free.
Where are they playing?
They play at Memorial Field on the varsity field, which is kind of behind the tennis and basketball courts.
Okay.
And before you get to the varsity soccer field, they play today at 4, but their schedule is also available online. It's free for all and fun to see. But you wanted me to talk about
I'm enthralled with this story. I had questions about that.
Ask me questions about softball.
I was going to ask you, what do you think makes a team consistently that good? I mean, obviously, they're not the New York Yankees, so they're not buying talent.
Sure.
So at that level, at that age, how are they accomplishing that?
So I think that in the softball community, Concord's continued to be a dominating force because for some reason there's been a lot of enthusiasm at the youth ranks in our area. There are these competitive, expensive paramilitary travel organizations that do a wonderful job teaching softball. The New Hampshire
paramilitary.
They take their ball seriously, which is why I use that as an adjective. The New Hampshire Comets, the New Hampshire Lightning, the Granite State Elite. These are all organizations that administer softball to kids and do so year-round. So I think the Achilles heel for northern softball players in the old days had been that it snows here and not there in the south. And so for generations, great ball players who played in college came from Florida Southern California and Texas. And now our players compete with them, and it's because of the advent of winter training. And so these organizations rent space in gymnasiums and field houses and batting cages in order to work on swings and play the game. And the level of coaching has kind of paralleled that year-round interest. And so when I was coaching the travel softball I described, I coached a team with my daughter played on for years. I would go to coaches' conferences in order to learn from college coaches who play in northern areas as well, how they were administering to their kids winter training options. opportunities, in drills, in fundamentals. And so,
so you're making it more year-roundish?
Totally. And there's bad things to that, right?
Yeah,
so as hockey and soccer and softball have dominated their players year-round, the problem or fear for them is their attention span, just getting burnt out too soon in the sport.
Right.
Or with the type of repetitive work you do in any one of those sports I just mentioned, you fear for young athletes wear and tear and injury unique to that sport. And there are great stories of amazing athletes at the pro ranks who never focused on just one and had the benefit of diversification in their athletic portfolio. Right. He played multiple sports, and so did many others. So there are downsides that I all recognize. The upside, however, to doing it this way is the quality of the game is outstanding.
Mm.
And the abilities of these teams are outstanding. But of all the things I learned, and I learned this from Pat Murphy, who is the head softball coach at University of Alabama, and I had an opportunity to listen to speak sometimes, that when he sets out to build a national champion softball team, he does so based on the quality, the character, the players, and their families. And as he's recruiting players, he does so considering as well the family they came from, the team they came from, really trying to get to know a player in the hope that there's not going to be a bad apple, and the chemistry of the great team,
very interesting,
and the love and the friendship of this great team is part of what leads to its success. And on a smaller scale and in a more subtle way, I think Coach Sawyer at Concord High has succeeded creating the same vibe. This is a team year in and year out of friends. I'm really proud and pleased that my daughter's part of a fraternity of softball alumni in Concord from Concord High that means something
to her.
She'll
have them forever.
She'll have them to forever. She was had the good fortune of being pulled up as a freshman to join the team when it made a championship run. So she has a ring that she owes to that great championship. Unfortunately, in her senior year, they got there. She pitched the last couple of games into the championship. They faltered in the end and just missed out on raising the crown that year as well. But they made up for it last year, where some of the wonderful kids who were just freshmen on that great team returned last year. By that point, they'd been juniors, and they vindicated that loss with a win of their own. And I've got to say, if you're looking for a potential, I don't want to get out over our skis too much talking about this great team, but I got to tell you, anyone in the state who knows anything is going to put Concord in the top 1, 2, 3 teams to vie again for another potential championship. So we've got a perennial powerhouse in Concord playing the sport of the softball, and it's really, really cool. And it owes itself to a lot of committed families and parents and players, of course, and all their efforts. But for reasons unknown, it's just, I don't think lacrosse, which is also a great sport, it was starting to cannibalize softball and baseball in some spots geographically in the country. In the center of the state of New Hampshire and in northern New Hampshire, in our more woodsy and rural locations, for reasons I can't quite explain, bat and ball sports continue to be of real interest. And so we just haven't slipped into other sports as much.
Yeah.
And I love softball and baseball because for parents these days watching kids' sports, they want it to end when the buzzer buzzes. So they can plan out their next family activity, their trip to the grocery store. We have parents working, of course, and everything is programmed and busy and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how long you really want it to last, that game doesn't end until those players have earned it. When you go out there, that inning doesn't end, and you don't have a chance to bat, which is always the fun part, right? You want to get a hit and run the bases and score runs. You don't earn that opportunity until that team's come together to get 3 outs. There's no time frame for that. And that is the antithesis of how we have apparent expectation today in modern American society. Mm. Everything's on a schedule. Everything has a buzzer. And that is such an important lesson for these players who have together earn an out. And every out you earn looks different than the last one. There's common plays, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A comebacker to the pitcher and a throw to first for the out. You know, a typical a ground ball to the shortstop and a throw to first to the out. Those plays repeat themselves, but they're never exactly the same, and very often it requires real teamwork to accomplish the opportunity to have your turn to hit.
Let me tell you something. I have seen some of the collegiate softball. I would not want to be at bat against some of these women.
They're bringing it.
Are you? That's unbelievable.
Well, they're 43 feet away, and once you get through that, that is the pitching delivery in the sport of softball is unique to the sport of softball.
Yeah.
And the great thing is to watch fat dads try to teach it, which they can't do. They can't do. You have to know that you have to have someone who knows better than you teach this particular pitching maneuver. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
You are always welcome. This has been NH Unscripted. I'm telling you, I can't believe I get to do this. My name is Ray Dudley. I am your host. Happy to be escaping from the home. Jim Rosenberg from Shaheen and Gordon has been in the house today. We didn't even get to the stories we wanted to talk about. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM on your Sony Walkman, 101.9 FM for the folks in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is the URL. I didn't even get to tell you what's out there. You can listen to us live, and I'll tell you about it next time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Love you, brother. Thank you.